If you are wondering what direction the crypto market is headed for the rest of the year, then you need to watch this video because we just crunched all the numbers and we figured it out.
Don't believe what everybody is telling you. This is the most accurate crypto prediction you will find anywhere.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks. Use this as fuel for your investing journey, because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
All views expressed by speakers on the BeanPod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the BeanPod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Don't believe what everyone else is telling you. We just figured out the most accurate forecast for where the crypto markets are going to go the rest of this year.
If you've been following our content over the last little while, you know that we've nailed the previous ETH and Bitcoin rallies, in addition to grabbing large cap altcoins like Athena at the bottom. In today's episode, we're going to identify exactly where the crypto market is headed next. And it could be up, it could be down. But in this episode, you got to watch it to the end to find out.
For sure. And if you like this kind of content, make sure to subscribe, because we're always going to be keeping you up to date on what moves we are making and what you could do with your portfolio. So where are we sitting right now with the global markets? We're talking about crypto, we're talking about stocks, because obviously the stock market is going to be a leading indicator of what Bitcoin does. And what Bitcoin does, altcoins do. So it doesn't matter if you don't hold stocks, if you only hold altcoins, this is a very important episode to watch to the end. So where are we at with the stock market? The stock market continues to soar into all-time highs. Now, this is coming off the back of the most recent decision made by Jerome Powell and the Fed, where they cut rates 25 basis points. And we're going to tell you why this is extremely important for the crypto markets, because we've talked about this in the past with interest rates, right? Do we want to see a big cut or a small cut?
Yeah, and this is one of those situations I was alluding to, where if you've been following our content, you understand just how accurate we have been. Because in our previous market update episode, we alluded to the fact that, look, a small cut is a good thing, a 25 basis point cut, because it signals to investors that, look, we have everything under control. When it's a 50 basis point cut, it's saying, like, look, we're kind of falling behind and we need to start lowering interest rates to inject liquidity into the markets. It was a small cut. And what has the market done since that point? It's rallied, just like we said it was going to do. So these smaller cuts are saying, like, look, we're heading in the right direction. We're seeing that. The Atlanta Fed came out with a GDP forecast of 4%. The economy right now is accelerating, right? And they're cutting into an accelerating economy. We're in a very well-positioned spot here as stocks rip to all-time highs, gold rips to all-time highs. There's a high likelihood that we're going to see Bitcoin, Ethereum, and particular altcoins also follow suit in the upcoming days, weeks, and months.
Mm-hmm. And so a couple of things I want to talk about here. So first of all, when you're talking about an overall global bull market, there's a quote here I found, which I think really resonates with where we're at right now, because a lot of people think that, you know, things are starting to turn bearish. Well, this is what they say. Bull markets don't die of old age. Something tends to kill them, such as, you know, a global conflict, a stark change and reversal in monetary policy, or some sort of black swan event, right? So for people just to say, look, we're petering off here, we've entered a bear market, I completely disagree, because we just haven't seen some sort of shock that is going to kill this multi-year bull market we've been in. And what you'll typically see at the end of bull markets, and eventually we will come to the end of this, but you'll see riskier assets, riskier things will start to rally. And look at the stock market right now, right? And because this is very important when you want to relate it to crypto. What stocks are rallying right now? Because obviously we've seen the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Meta, all these stocks rallying. But if you look closely, what stocks are rallying right now? These very risky, very almost junk stocks, these undervalued tech companies that might not even be making any money, that have been dead since 2020, 2021, the last raging bull market when stimulus checks. So what I'm seeing now is a lot of these stock names that I haven't seen talked about for years since the last real bull market, they're perking up. And to me, that is the sign of deep, deep liquidity entering the market, which will eventually come to the riskiest asset sector, and that's crypto.
Yeah, look, I think the riskiest asset sector, crypto, is filled with a lot of retail degens. It is so easy to leverage long with a click of a button. You go on the Rollbit, you can literally just press up, tell Rollbit how much money you want to leverage, and boom, it's wiped out. Mm-hmm. But it's not that easy when you're doing that with stocks, right? And that's why the smart institutional money is, you know, pouring its money into the stocks. We just had a massive multi-billion dollar liquidation event in the crypto market. People were getting so frothy. The moment we had that 25 basis point cut, what happened? Bitcoin ripped, Ethereum ripped. Everybody's like, okay, we're going to the moon. What did everybody do? They leveraged long. Yep. So short-term holders are now selling at a loss. We've pretty much just reset the entire market here by wiping out all the degens, which is a very good thing for creating a new base mm-hmm. to allow spot buyers to come in and start driving the price up again. And again, crypto will follow what we're seeing with gold and the stocks.
For sure. So now if we look at Bitcoin specifically, of course, everyone talks about the halving cycle, the four-year halving cycle. We're all very familiar with it. Now, this cycle could be different or it could be the same. Now, if we're assuming it's going to be the same, let's look at where we're at in the current Bitcoin cycle. We're almost 98% done, right? We're about 1,040 days in, and the typical cycle is just a little bit longer than that. So if we're thinking we're in the final 2-3% of the cycle, that is typically where you see the ultra volatile blow off top. And that's what everyone's expecting here for Q4 2025. Now, a lot of these signals are kind of lining up for this. We've started to see Bitcoin dominance start to break down. We've started to see Ethereum come alive, and we started to see some signs of a potential altcoin season. But then if you go on the flip side and you say, well, not every cycle is the same because we have institutions involved, we have bigger capital play coming in, maybe this cycle won't be the same. So there's two scenarios I think we want to kind of talk to you guys about, and you need to be prepared for both.
Yeah, the first scenario is the way that I believe we've been mapping it out over the past several years, and that is that we have 1,065 days of bull, followed by 365 days of bear market. And that has literally happened the last two cycles. The third cycle before that was actually relatively within that exact same range as well. The other thing is it coincides with the 550-day halving to peak. Both of those put us exactly to the tail end of October and or early November. It's just crazy to see that this happens every single cycle.
It is crazy.
The second alternative. Everybody thinks Q4 is going to be a blow-off top. And rightfully so, because on average, Q4 provides Bitcoin with an 84% return. On average, Q4. So we're gearing up for something crazy here.
Yep.
But now that everybody expects that, and you know, we like to be the contrarians, we like to do, you know, the opposite of what everybody's starting to think, because it's too easy that way. Mm-hmm. What if we actually see a continued bit of a slide over the next couple months, everybody starts packing it in, mm-hmm. and 2026 ends up being an extended bull market?
For sure.
That is a high likelihood.
You have to be prepared because, look, everyone can come on here, come on Twitter, come on YouTube and tell you this is what's going to happen. But the reality is no one really knows what's going to happen. We have to be prepared for scenarios either way. And I think that's an interesting thing because when we start to look at the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and XRP charts, which we're going to do soon in this episode, you can start to see the liquidity lining up that you could actually see both scenarios playing out. So now, okay, let's look at the Bitcoin chart because, again, where Bitcoin goes, altcoins follow. And even though Bitcoin is, you know, it's kind of seems to be topping out, I think there is room for upside. And we talked about, okay, look, Bitcoin could rip through Q4 or it could dip and then maybe rip again after. And I think that would be perfect. Like you said, I think if it dips in Q4, people are going to be like, you know what? That was the end of the bull market.
Yeah, ended early.
And everyone's going to start selling to stablecoins, log off crypto, and that would be a perfect time for it to rip. So when you look, first of all, let's look at the liquidity heat map for Bitcoin. So you see liquidity building right now, right below where we are right now, 104, 107K, but also down at 95K.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I think that could be, if we do see a final dip, I feel like if it loses 100K, people are going to be like, it's over.
Yeah.
It's going to 60K, it's going to 40K, but it could take that liquidity that you see on the screen there at 95K. And then if you look above liquidity, you see liquidity building at all-time highs, 130 and 140K. So I think you could see a scenario where it does dip to 95K and very quickly rip back up into all-time highs, the blow-off top that we're all talking about. Or it could just go and maybe languish in that mid-low hundreds, before we see a return to all-time highs. My all-time high target for Bitcoin, I think we kind of share the same thing, around 140, 150K. It lines up with a lot of the predictions that we've been making for the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's interesting, because where that 95K sits for liquidity is also where we see the 50 EMA sitting. And that would be the perfect perfect scenario for it to bounce from there. So if we jump into Ethereum, I'll bring up this chart on the daily. If you look at the Stoch RSI, and you can see we're in a channel here. We've been ranging from this channel from April of 2025 until now. We've tagged the bottom. The stock RSI has also started to curl at the bottom. And 30 days later, every time it's tagged the bottom and the stock RSI has curled up, we've seen a 2x on Ethereum's price. Mm-hmm. I find this really interesting. It's fascinating, especially because we have the DXY at resistance. We have the USDT at dominance at resistance. Mm-hmm. We have Bitcoin dominance at resistance.
Right.
And we have ETH at support. Mm-hmm. So we have the perfect setup right now, I think, to see Ethereum start ripping.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like, you know, Ethereum ran very, very quickly a few months ago. And I feel like people have kind of forgotten about Ethereum. Like, yeah, Ethereum had its run. You know, Solana's going to come back. Obviously, we have a bit of a Binance Smart Chain season with Aster and stuff. But Ethereum is still the king of the altcoins. And we need it to continue to run if you want to see a true alt season. And I think your channel makes a lot of sense. And then when you put the liquidity map on top of that channel, what do we see? We see a liquidity buildup in all-time highs at 5K exactly, which would grab that liquidity potentially soaring into all-time highs. And we also see that scenario, too, we talked about with liquidity at 3.5K. And I think a dip from Ethereum to 3.5K and maybe just below would create enough fear in the market where people would be like, it's done, it's over, ETH's going to 2.5K, ETH's going to 2K.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the EMAs, right? So the structure here is still bullish. We bounced almost perfectly off the 100-day EMA last week. And the 200 EMA lines up perfectly with that 3.5K liquidity. It's funny how these things always work out. But I guess that's where people are setting their orders and stuff. So 3.5K liquidity, 3.5K 200-day EMA, if it does get that dip. And this is one thing, like we say, be prepared for both scenarios. I'm not preparing for a potential dip by selling my bags of altcoins.
No.
Because we don't know if that's going to happen. All I'm doing is continuing to stack. And if it does dip, that's when you go more all in. You have to have stables on the sideline. If it dips to 3.5K Ethereum and hits that 200-day moving average, that's when you buy more.
Yeah.
You don't panic. Well, I mean, look, you can do whatever you want, but I'm just telling you what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's what allowed us to grab Ethereum at 1500 when it dipped down, because it coincided with the EMAs along with the heat maps. It tells us a story. It tells us exactly where it is. I just want to highlight, by the way, the top of that channel for Ethereum put in 30 days puts us at 6,900 US dollars for Ethereum, which would be quite spicy.
Oh, of course. 69? Of course, it's going to be 69.
It's funny because Bitcoin topped out at 69.
69K last bull run cycle. So Ethereum, it all makes sense, right?
That's
Elon Musk's theory. The most entertaining outcome is the most likely. I think that's like 100% accurate.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're looking at for Bitcoin and Ethereum. Two different scenarios. We're prepared for both. We're prepared to capitalize on both. And now let's take a quick look at XRP. I know everyone always wants to know about XRP. So in my personal opinion, the bull run will not end without XRP exploding and reaching a new all-time high from here. Interestingly enough, the liquidity shows mostly builds up to the upside from XRP. I don't see a lot of room because XRP, since it had its last push a few months ago, it really hasn't done much. So I don't see a lot of liquidity building up to the downside. I see a lot of liquidity building heavily from 3.4 and 4 all the way into new all-time highs. I mapped out a buy zone, which you can see on the chart here at around 2.7 to 2.8. And every time it comes down into that buy zone, it stabilizes. So I see a lot of support for XRP, 2.7, 2.8. I see a lot of liquidity, 3.4 and above. So for me, the bull run will not end without seeing a new XRP all-time high.
No, and to what Jolly's highlighting here is a really good technical analysis that he's just done there. You need to understand that there's not going to be an altcoin season this year. There won't be. 2017 was fueled by the ICO boom. You know, there was way less projects in the market. There was like something like 1,000 or something like that, mm-hmm. something crazy. So think about all the liquidity from these big institutional players that were stepping into the ICO, getting in seed rounds and pumping the shit out of these prices, right? 2020 was fueled by $5 trillion in stimulus checks entering America alone. People are sitting at home doing nothing. They're trading altcoins, right? Now we have a new project every 5 seconds entering the market and not the same amount of liquidity. And we know this because anytime that there's a new big project to launch, like a Trump coin or recent or Pump Fund, or recently it was Aster. Every other project tanks because retail is chasing these new coins. So what the, my point I'm trying to get at here is that there's going to be specific narratives and there's going to be specific sectors that are going to run. So it's going to be very important to be tuning into the right altcoins at the right time. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here. And I think the next coin you're going to talk about could be a potential winner as well.
For sure. So yeah, let's move into some smaller cap altcoins now that we've covered Bitcoin, Ethereum, and XRP. And yeah, so I want to piggyback on what you just said about Aster specifically, because I think I'm quite bullish on Aster. I've been buying it below a dollar, above a dollar. And for me, it's very simple. You don't want to fade CZ, the by far the richest person and most powerful person in crypto. You know, he had his whole saga where he took down FTX. He went to jail, regulatory concerns. Now he's back. He's not officially with Binance anymore, but of course, he's now behind Aster. And the thing about Aster, right now, the market cap, you know, it's a few billion dollars. And their largest competitor, and this is why CZ is going against it, is Hype, Hyperliquid. Hyperliquid's market cap around $15 billion. I think there's absolutely no question in my mind that Aster will at least reach the market cap of Hyperliquid, because this is personal for CZ. He sees Hyperliquid as a main competitor to Binance, and he thinks that if they can Binance makes their own DEX to compete against Hyperliquid, then that will prevent them from losing a ton of market share, which they could. And the thing about people, okay, like they're like, all right, it's already at a multi-billion dollar market cap. 95% of the supply is controlled by the Aster team, aka CZ. So when you look at market dips and quick panics, he owns all the coins. He's not cheating like all these other people when they see Bitcoin drop 1%.
Yeah, so they sell their altcoins.
He controls the supply, and people are like, how is that bullish? That's bullish because he's not going to absolutely, he's not going to rug, he's not going to tank this price. So when you see the market cap at like a couple of bill, actually it's much less in circulating supply because only 5% of that those coins is owned by normies, by us, right? Yeah. So there's a lot more room. So for me, I think my targets, of course it's going to reach 4. You know, again, like Elon Musk's theory, he holds the 4 up, CZ 4 meme. Of course Aster's going to go to 4. But for me, a realistic valuation for Aster, even without looking at the charts and stuff, just comparing it to Hyperliquid, I think it should be valued around 10 to 15 billion in this current market environment, which puts it at like a 3 to 4X. And there's just not a lot of large cap coins with high liquidity that are as safe of a bet, in my personal opinion, of course, not financial advice, this is just what I'm doing, as Aster. So I'm not going to be trading this. I'm not selling it. I'm just going to continue to accumulate. And I think in a full-blown alt season, this could go to 20, 30 billion plus because look, CZ's behind it.
Yeah, crime man season.
Yeah, crime season.
Crime season, baby.
Crime season.
So the another, I think another talk we could talk about that kind of sticks to that same crime man type season would be World Liberty. Mm-hmm. Because World Liberty is backed by the biggest crime, or partnered with the biggest crime man himself. That's Trump.
That's it.
Right? So I think CZ's providing the playbook, and Trump and his cronies are going to follow the exact same playbook and start trying to pump like, well, look how much money he's making.
For sure.
Guy's making billions.
Yeah.
Creating tokens. Like, what do you think they can do with Wilfi? I think the Wilfi token could pump. What are they doing? What are they just started doing? They're buying back and burning all their fees. I think they just did like a $4 million burn or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've started to accumulate Wilfi here around 19, 20 cents. I think that's a great buy zone. Why? One, everyone's completely forgotten about this.
Yeah.
It was the biggest thing when it launched. Of course, you don't want to buy on launch. It tanked. It went all the way down to like 15, 16 cents.
But it's only, yeah.
But people have completely forgot about it. No one's talking about it, and that's when you want to buy. Again, not financial advice. That's when I want to buy. So I'm starting to accumulate Wilfi here. I don't think there's any way that this bull run ends without Wilfi hitting a dollar, because it's crime season. The Trump family, Eric Trump, keeps coming out on Twitter. He says, buy the dip, buy altcoins. He's telling you.
Telling you.
I think people take for granted that we have a crypto bull run. We have a crypto forward, a pro-crypto president and president family, and they have their own coin. Like, how rare is this? This might never happen again. So I think you would be amiss to believe that this bull run will end without Wilfi absolutely pumping. And you talk about most hated rallies. So many people hate Wilfi. They hate Trump, and that is why it will pump, right?
Yeah,
it's just that simple.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you can look at the chart if you want, and it looks like it's establishing a base.
It does.
So that's why I've started to accumulate it. And yeah, I think I want crime coins. I want Aster. I want Wilfi for sure.
And there's a huge liquidity grab. It could 2X from here, around 50 cents.
Yeah.
There's a massive scam wick on Binance on the daily.
Right.
So I think most of this wick could get filled.
Yeah, I like it. Another most hated coin that I've started accumulating is Pump. everybody hates pump fund, right? And I started accumulating it. It kind of started to, you can take a quick look at the chart here. It started to create that double bottom formation after launch, similar to Wilfi, I think it's creating now, where it immediately tanks like 80%. Then it goes to a low and it goes to a low again. And then it absolutely rips. And the reason that I like pump is one, the streamer meta is just massive. I see streaming is like, it's the most popular thing in content creating now. Like maybe we should start streaming. Everyone's all about streaming.
Yeah, they are.
And Pump Fund is making $1-3 million a day, and they're using all the revenue to buy back the token, right? And again, these guys aren't idiots. Love them or hate them, whatever you think about Pump Fund, like we didn't like what they did to the industry. I still don't like them, but I want to make money.
Yeah.
And if you look at Pump Fund, okay, let's run some quick numbers. They are making, let's say, $1 billion a year in revenue based on their current revenue run rates and buybacks. Their valuation of the company right now is $2 billion. A company that makes $1 billion a year in revenue and is valued at $2 billion, that's off. If you look at the stock market, a company that makes $1 billion a year is going to be valued around $20
billion. Yep.
And when crypto really heats up, like we think it will do either in Q4 or Q1, that's when the valuation will probably start to reflect how much money they're making. And I think that's where you could see Pump Fund go to a $10, $20 billion valuation. So even though it's pumped and it's on a pullback, I'm continuing to accumulate pump here.
All right, so that's our personal targets for these crime coins and what we are personally accumulating. If you guys have any crime coins that you're interested in, let us know in the comments because I think these ones could really hit. So we have our targets for XRP, Wilfi, Aster, etc. We've laid out some targets for Ethereum and Bitcoin. You know, we both see and we have publicly come out and said, we said this time and time again when Bitcoin is trading like 60K, we said, look, Bitcoin's going to reach 143, 150K or so. We've also publicly come out and said when Ethereum hits 1500, we're going to run that back up to 7,000 around somewhere around there. Where are we now? We're approaching those targets and we still see a bullish Q4 and a bullish Q1. And we see, we still firmly have these in line. So that is our market update. We see the Fed, they're cutting into an accelerating economy. Liquidity is pouring back in. I think a lot of people are tapped out and they're tired. They got billions wiped out from the crypto market. Look, this is a good reset in my opinion, and I think we go a lot higher from here. If you guys have any questions, let us know in the comments and then tune into the next episode
because that one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.